Let's talk about Revelations 12 and the woman.
Oh, he's on. Lord, everybody get ready. Here we go. You're going to go at it? Going to the harlot, you said?
I want you to tell me who the woman is that was clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet.
We already did this. We already did the woman and the dragon. We already worked this out.
Now, hold on just a minute. Who's we that worked it out, first of all?
Everything's about Bob, Brian, you know this.
Okay, so you and Bob worked it out. So tell me what you and Bob worked
out. You were
bullshit. Bullshit. I didn't work it out.
Bullshit.
I command you, Brian, to represent me in forging this theme.
So who is the woman? I mean, I want to know who the woman is. I want to know who the child is that she gave birth to.
Easy on the separations. Are you going to go south? But go ahead.
Well, okay, I could say, okay, did Moses speak of the woman that was clothed with the sun?
Yes.
In which book did Moses speak of her?
That's not the reference. The reference is in Ezekiel 16.
Well, what's Moses got to do with Ezekiel 16?
Nothing, but it's another reference that brings it closer than what Moses had to say about it. Moses didn't know what he was
talking about. Ezekiel brings it closer than Moses did.
Yes.
Which book did Moses discuss the woman?
Deuteronomy 15.
Deuteronomy 15, okay. She is not in Genesis.
No, she is not in Genesis. Because, see, this is where the tail sweeps a third of the stars out of the sky and flings them to the earth. It has nothing to do with Lilith's crowd. This is not
the tail. Well, that's the dragon's tail, the tail of the dragon.
We understand that, but that's not to do with Lilith.
I didn't bring up Lilith. Asking who. Are you saying that the woman is Lilith?
No.
Okay, the woman.
She's not Lilith.
Okay, she's not Lilith. Is the dragon Lucifer?
No. The dragon is Seth.
The dragon is Seth.
Adam's boy.
Okay, I never saw that one, Joe. I didn't see that one. Okay.
No,
now, in 23, they talk about, the war in heaven. The war in heaven is when Lucifer fought against Michael and Gabriel.
The other archangels, yes.
So that war in heaven has nothing to do with the war in heaven in chapter 12?
That's correct. So we did that in Revelation 23. We made that out. That's what they parsed out for the dark soul. Come on. Yeah, like you never heard this before, and you authored most of that, Brian.
No, hold on now, because he never said that that war in heaven that they were speaking of in 23.
You never asked them now.
Well, you just said that you recovered it. Okay, so.
We did. We laid that. We told you that.
Okay, all right.
But you asked. It's not real to you. And you'll ponder with it, and it's like the lampstands. You've already answered everything that's ever been known to be known about the lampstands, and yet we keep poking. Come on, Brian.
Yeah.
Come on. Throw the ball. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, Brian.
Let's go back to 12. This is unforeseen for me that Seth is the dragon. The third of the stars that rode on the dragon's tail, or however it was phrased, are those angels.
No, they're not angels, but they represent angelic forces. You got a whole lot of shit going on here now. You remember how we had to go word by word, laying all this up and out. You got to parallel this out because your questions are valid, but you can't obfuscate other words we've said regarding it because we don't change our words. But you're now taking the line item and adding positions to the line item to change the story. The story won't change, but we'll tell you what color the dragon's toenails were, but it won't affect the outcome of the story. Do you see? To parse this down is not helping you get the answer to the question you're trying to get to. It'll give you information, and we'll do it till you go to bed or wake up, whichever comes first. We can do this for 1,260 days if you need to.
You did the whole Revelation series, and these are just questions that I have for me to further develop it, to get to exactly what the storyline actually is.
Well, it's developing. See, that's the thing.
Right. What did you mean when you said it's developing? What was developing?
It's Brian's place in it's developing. He now asks questions much better than he did then, because now his knowing place is very different. He didn't know there was even a great harlot. He didn't even know he was interested in it.
That's
he just
the point.
Wanted some money checks and be able to day trade a little and make enough money to fuck around in his little trucky thing like he wants to. It's all the deal. But then it became something, and now all of a sudden it's gotten to be quite euphoric.
Brian, where's this woman? That's chapter 12?
Revelations chapter 12, the woman. That's Ion's title to the chapter.
Right.
Now, if you look in a Bible, the Bible will say it's the woman and the dragon.
So now we got Seth is the dragon, and Ion says Seth is unique. What have you got so far on what the woman is?
I know that it's not Lilith.
Is it
and
Ruth? Esther? I mean, what realm of possibilities could the woman be?
I don't know. I'll have to look at Ezekiel.
Try to ask.
Well, he gave Ezekiel the chapter 16, which I haven't looked, and then he gave Moses touched on her in, was it Deuteronomy?
I'm looking at Ezekiel's. No, I'm not. I'm looking at Exodus. Just a minute. I'll get Ezekiel. All right? We got Ezekiel 16.
Is there a particular verse in 16?
All of it.
All of it. Okay, so is woman an archetype for something anthropomorphic, or is it a symbol for a cold play or something? Like, what is the realm of possibility?
The prophet and the prostitute.
Well, that sounds like the temples, you know, the sex temples they had. So if it's not that, then it's about the prophet in relation to that phenomenon. Or is it a woman who left the temple, never entered it, an anti-environment to the temple?
Maybe you could say this woman was ascended. I mean, after all, she's clothed with the sun, so she must be clothed in light. The moon is under her feet. She parallel worlds. She travels. Oh, and what was it?
The first woman comes to mind is Sarah, you know, Abraham's wife who never transitioned. Is Sarah involved with this Ion?
No.
Is it someone of the abilities of Sarah?
Better. Hosea 1, verse 6.
Hey, got her name, Brian. Look, and she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God, Brian, said unto him, call her name Loruhamah. Loruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. So there it is, Loru. L-O-R-U-H-A-M-A-H.
Gomer's daughter. Loruhamah means not loved.
This is a clue to the woman. You're not saying she's the woman, but this is a clue to where the woman
that's
comes
the woman.
From. There you go, Brian. Bob did it. I squeezed a lemon and you fucking got the answer.
Okay, the whole Seth being the dragon is totally throwing me.
If the dragon is America and everything's already known and the Chinese knew this, Seth represents the neutrino. All the
time. Well, hold on a second. I wouldn't say that Seth is America. The way I read
the dragon,
the Bible.
The dragon. I'm saying the dragon.
Well, I wouldn't
is
say
America.
The dragon. I wouldn't say the dragon is America. It says all through there that the dragon gives power to specifically the three branches of government. It doesn't say that he is the branches, but it says he gives power to, like, he gives power to the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, you know, which are those branches.
That's why we said earlier that Bob was making a new oligarch for Bob to bask in.
Yes, these are my boys, my people.
Oh, Lord, stop.
The rigged game, Brian, it's a rigged game. But look, my instant theory is that Seth is neutrino. He's different from Cain and Abel. He's not going through an evolutionary trajectory.
Okay, right. That was a question that just occurred to me. Is this is the same Seth? Well, you said it earlier. It was Cain and Abel's brother?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's planted from the future. He's the future walking around back there in Genesis, and he represents the dragon, which is what we're building today.
If you could get your plant soaked in blood.
Yes, get your plinth soaked in blood, Brian.
What's that mean, Bob? What's that?
Oh, I don't. I'm just a parrot.
That's over.
Yeah.
I've never said the word plinth ever before in my life. I don't know what it is.
He just said it, and he said he's never said it before in his life. See what we're working with here? Do you see what we're working with? Plinth. Let's see.
They're working with a broken wrench, before. Brian.
I've never said plinth before. You know that thing I never said before? Plinth. That's the one. That's the plinth. I've never said that ever.
You want the definition? Plinth. A block of stone or wood that is used as the base for a pillar, statue, etc.
Basically, it's your basic.
Is that like white stone stuff? Is that a cornerstone of the temple?
Well, it could, because in the full definition, it talks about a course of stones forming a continuous foundation or base course.
Yeah, he referenced blood with the plant.
In blood. Mm-hmm.
Does this have to do with the phrase you see in the Bible about the blood of the Lamb being slain from the foundations of the world?
Yes. Now, you still ain't got lampstands, but that's okay. You're whittling through a little bit. The blood, the Passover, the blood moon, all these are metaphors for getting you lined back up, okay? It lines you back up. This runs this gamut to remind you those steps and processes to bring you back to your place as God.
When you use the phrase to line you back up, can you give me your meaning of that phrase? Does that mean activating the 144,000?
Yeah, to get them to become double helixes 144,000 times.
Okay, right. And aren't the RNA drops doing that?
They are, but there's a process that completes it. You could go straight to living water and shoe bread, but you can't take it. You, Brian, fell so far from grace and glory that it's all that we can do to get it slow enough to get you up to stage enough to where you actually have a sinner's prayer of ability of being
yeah,
God.
A prayer, even a chance, Brian. We saved your ass.
Yeah.
A sinner's prayer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I want to be clear, though. Does the RNA drops get you to 144,000?
Dr. Carolyn Dean's RNA drop that we make will increase helix strands in your DNA.
Increase them to 144,000? After the drops, you bring in the chew bread and the living water to get us there.
Yes.
So are you saying that we have to have the 144,000 before we can consume the shoe bread?
No.
So could you clearly lay out for me what your meaning is of getting us prepared to be able to take the shoe bread?
The only thing that's happening is new information is administered into the body. And we could have done that a million ways.
Right.
The way we chose was in RNA drops. And what that does is it comes into the body, and all of a sudden there's a huge difference. You're the poster child for that because you've had such a radical shift. It's sort of changed everything. And for the good, or so you say, if it's pleasurable to you. All right, now, if you got never anything more than that, you're good, but you did want more. That's the point. You take over the digging shit, but now you want more. That's the whole point. That's what we said, is that once you start this process, that's all you need. One drop's all you ever require. That'll do you, but you're going to want more, as you know. Now, the next phase is once the body gets to a certain level, it becomes normal.
When the body gets to a certain level, can you explain this certain level?
When the lipids in the body start reacting differently to amino acids present in the lymphatic and or lipid panel, when your HDL and LDL kind of goes a little bit strange and your triglycerides kind of get a little out of whack, not high. Now, this is not high. Sometimes they may say it's a missed test or you must have eaten something or you didn't fast, so you took this blood work, blah, 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 blah. those processes, but makes no never mind what they call it, because they don't even know what they're doing. But you'll find it is a strange anomaly. Those anomalies, when they start showing up in the meat sack body, it's when your body has started that process of changing.
And that's the lipid system, right?
The lipids in the body and the fats in the body affecting the information storage. See, fat stores. That is a storage vehicle. You don't have a lot of it. We wish you
had wait. I don't have a lot of fat.
Correct.
Well, we would have to clearly define what a lot of fat is, because I got plenty. Believe me, brother, I got plenty.
No, you can have a little more, but it's okay. It's not a problem, because you're gonna use it, so it's fine. So
that's good. Now, that's good.
That's very good. Now, next story is once we figure out the lampstands, then we'll proceed. But until then, we're going to keep going around this mountain until we do. It's okay. We don't mind. It's okay. We're very patient. Uh-huh. We have been so far, and the circumstances have been incredibly nice, we think. So here we go. You get your body to where the lymphatic system and your lipids change. Then what happens is you start having a weird craving. Your food cravings have already begun to change for you. Now, we're not telling the whole wide world, Brian. We're telling you because you're asking. And others may be a bit different, okay, because you're already weird anyway, and you know this, but we already discussed that. But
well, now listen, I'm normal. Everybody else is fucking weird. Let's get this all straightened out here, okay?
See, that's what I'm saying. We're not bragging or complaining. Yes. We're not bragging or complaining. Very good.
Okay.
So now what happens is the way you crave food is different, and the way food reacts in your body is different. Things, as you notice, tastes are different. Things that used to be just super pungent aren't anymore.
Oh, sure. There's been foods I used to just love to eat that I just don't care for now, and then there's foods that I never really engage much.
That you really, really desire. Okay.
That's and there's also, I've noticed a waxing and waning of cravings. It's like I'll go a period where I just crave. I mean, I just eat and eat and eat constantly everything, and then I'll just go through a period where I don't want to eat at all. And then if I do eat, it's like I just want to vomit the fucking shit up because I just don't want to eat.
That's right. And then you'll want something and you'll eat it and it won't be that. So you want something else and it won't be that. And you want something else. And then you're just sick, like you say. You're just sated with the whole thing and you still didn't get what it is you wanted. That's right. What we're talking about. That's the next process, and that's when the lysine, the degrees and levels of lysine are going to start to be noted or marked. And we change and do the shifts, but, oh, y'all better get her up. That's all I'm saying. The amino acids, when they start clicking into a synchronized form of lysine, then what happens is, the polymerase in the cells themselves perk up, basically. They don't have to reproduce and replicate the same way anymore. Once that shifts and changes, then your body starts taking those very amino acids. Now, some would say that's poison. Well, to little men, it keeps you little. So if it's death to the little man that gets you to God, then okay, then we're going to poison you to God. Mm-hmm. But it's not like that, obviously, because your road to Wellville is going to be the bettering of you. And that's the process.
That's like earlier in the radiation, that the rads that you were discussing.
They've already doubled the rads that they sell key.
And yet we're thriving, right? Yeah.
You're better than you were. And they literally, this is the big national test. And all of a sudden, there's more radiation in the damn grass that the cow's eating that you're in the milk that you're drinking than you can survive. So they said, okay, we'll double it. And everybody's like, okay, I feel better.
Now, the polymerase, that causes
the cell
unwinding. Right. And
rip.
So.
And it tells it to not rip, it tells it to continue.
Okay, but I'm thinking about how the 144,000 strands come into play. And
well,
is that part of it, that the cells have to have a ripping in order to expand and elongate?
Well, no, you have to open the rings and arms. See, well, chromosome 14, you had to open the rings and arms.
So the polymerase triggers the opening of the rings and the arms?
It would.
Now, Ion, I know that you like to play with the pronunciation of words.
Yes, we do. It's so much fun.
And when I listened to a YouTube about polymerase, they pronounced it differently. The way that we're pronouncing it here makes it sound like the first syllable is poly, which when you do the definition of that, of course it relates to many or several, more than one. Whereas when the YouTube of the scientist pronouncing it, she said what sounded like pole, which...
Yeah, and the one we're talking about is
one.
The enzyme. So, well, no, we're talking about the enzyme one. We're talking about
okay.
The one that's an enzyme. We're talking about the one that is polymers of a nucleic acid. Okay, the one we're talking about is what you have base pairing interactions with. Or a template, okay? Now, what happens is, it would almost be almost like the thermos aquaticus. A-Q-U-A-T-I-C-U-S.
It has to do with water.
Yeah, thermos.
Please explain more about what that relates to.
You were asking about the pronunciation of polymerase, weren't you?
Right. And how does the thermos aquaticus...
It's a type of bacterium. It can take super-duper temperatures, huge temperature swings. It's like the size of 15 nanometers.
This bacteria is in the cell?
Yeah, for the PCR DNA amplification technique. Polymerase chain reaction.
So these are all parts of the changes that will be happening as our cells proceed and change. Okay, so, yeah, the temperatures. Okay, got it.
Do you need the phylum or you got it, honey?
I think I got it.
You better, Joyce. It's going to be a quiz later.
Oh, yeah. You better spell it. D-E-I-N-O-C-O-C-C-U-S. Thermos, because there's several different phylums that it could be under, and you don't want to get the wrong one, because otherwise your hypothalamus might overheat. But don't worry, Dr. Dean's on the scene. Y'all gonna be all right.
So, Joyce, I had a question about the...
Then you can enjoy your reset. Yay.
You know what that is, Joyce, the reset?
Well, we've been talking about the reset. I mean, the general concept of it. From the perspective of we're coming to the place where we are going to go through a major reset.
And on what level?
Physical body, the environment that we live in.
The cellular level? What about the molecular? See, I had a question when you were talking about these neutrinos, and you're saying that a neutrino is a measurement.
As opposed to an electron, which is a gauge. No, Joyce, we said it earlier.
Well,
neutrino was a measurement.
You're going to confuse him, though.
I know. This idea that a neutrino, which we thought is a particle, but Ion's calling it a measurement, unless he's going to change his statement now. But you said, Ion?
We're going to talk about the Amorites and Hittites and the Canaanites and Jerusalem as an adulterous wife in Ezekiel 16. That's right.
You're saying all of those, whatever fights you were talking, you're saying they're neutrinos?
They sure are. I'm saying it's a big deal. In fact, you get it all in plain sight. You hit it all in plain sight.
We're always talking chemistry here, Brian, and your lampstand, that should give you a clue.
On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean. Nor are you rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes. No one looked on you with anger and compassion enough to do these things for you. Rather, they were thrown out in the open field. For on the day you were born, you were despised. Wow.
Now, are you quoting a canticle in the Bible?
Ezekiel 16.
So when you were born, the cord was not cut. I haven't read it. Okay, I haven't read it, so I was just, okay.
We just love Ryan. I'm his favorite entertainment.
Yeah, I know.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun because he's right back at it. He's just tenacious, always at it. He just gets it. He's like, okay, let's go.
Me and Joyce was talking about salt. Specifically, the salt has no frequency. Now, you're telling me about the salt that has no frequency. And what did you say it did, Joyce? It divides?
The water, the H2O bonding.
Oh, it's breaking the H2O.
It attracts hydrogen and it frees oxygen due to the negative potential for hydrogen.
That's right.
And
that's why your process will desalinate. This process will desalinate salt water. It divides it.
This process.
We're getting rid of the oxygen, remember?
We're making oxygen an isotope.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of it. It oxidizes you.
And the change of water, as it is changed in our bodies, then our lipids are going to be much happier because they don't want water.
That's correct. And see, what happens now is salt in your body makes you hold fluid, which then gives you hypertension because you're basically drowning your system.
Right. Okay. And that salt that you're speaking of now is not the salt that doesn't have a frequency that we're going to?
Yes, it is. Same salt. We're not changing salt, darling. We're changing you.
Yes, Joyce, your breasts will be happier. I cite you Ezekiel 16:7.
I can't wait.
I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare.
Woo!
Hey.
I don't know. My hair is pretty thick, though. I've got thick hair. I can do without that, but I'll take a little larger breast. That's okay.
Okay.
You'll take the breast enhancement, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, we got memories for you.
Thanks for the memories.
Ion, can you give me a chemical formula for the salt that has no frequency? Does it have a chemical formula?
No.
It doesn't have a chemical formula. So it is not sodium or chloride or any form of sodium bonding.
The closest thing you have is a form of a sulfite, but it's not there yet. A sodium sulfite, but it's not there yet. So don't eat that yet. But it will be a version of sodium sulfite.
Okay, it'll be a version of sodium sulfite. So what?
Yeah,
it will not
see,
be
when the water changes, everything changes. So it won't be that, but that's as close to it as what it's going to be. Because sodium sulfite won't be sodium sulfite when it shifts.
So at 212 degrees...
Radioisotopes will no longer bond.
You say we are made of salt and light. Those terms refer to something beyond chemistry?
Rejoice, as always, is right on point. It's the reactional, the chain reaction process. It's not the most critical portion of the program, but it's certainly a key part of it.
You're talking about salt and light?
Desalination, Bob.
Go ahead, Sarah, from Baton Rouge.
I'm going back to the dragon. If the dragon is Seth, the dragon was ready to devour the child that the woman had when it was born, and then it says that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So is the child meant to be destroyed because he's part angel or something? Or
the little man. It's the little man. We're trying to get rid of the little man. We're trying to get you to God.
Let's go at that a different way, because we're not having this little man business. It's just everybody's God. They're just separated from.
Right, but that's what we're trying to destroy, is the little part of you. And that's why there was a war in heaven.
Well, we were. I thought
the dark soul and there and ended all goes to hell from there.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's go back to the war in heaven. I thought the war in heaven was all about Lucifer wanting to sit at the right hand of God, and God said no.
That's the example. That's what's laid out. That's why they're trying to figure it out. Remember, Brian, the angels want to keep you little, so they have some place.
Mm-hmm.
If you're God, their bid is up.
I was kind of bringing that up because when you were talking about Moses and the plagues and the Pharaoh of Egypt and how Moses kept saying, let my people go, it seemed like when I was reading through it, the Pharaoh would say, yeah, go ahead, y'all get out of here, and he'd be done with it. And it was like an angel come down, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and then he would change his mind and say, no, I ain't letting you go. So then Moses would unleash one of the plagues, and then he'd come back and say, all right, I unleashed this plague, and I want my people out of here. Okay, go. And then an angel would come back again, harden his heart again, and then he'd say, no, I ain't letting you go. And so then, and then you went through all of these plagues, but the point was, or what I thought was happening was, these angels were intervening. They were like, no, we got to manipulate this Pharaoh into keeping them to keep the whole contrast thing going. Is that what was going on, or?
Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Which is the point.
In that verse there, they're referring to the dragon, which you said was Seth. You got these people calling Seth, not only are they calling the dragon, but they're calling the devil and Satan.
All these are representations of the parallel. One is the storyline. Then we go back to what the meaning is. Then we apply that to the blood. Then we apply that to your blood. Then we apply it to RNA. Then we apply it to your RNA. And so each tiered level becomes another degree, okay? The naming of the white stone became significant, but it didn't say Carolyn Florandine, but it should.
So we got the storyline. And then you just mentioned all of these different levels. And see, that's where, I guess, I'm getting tangled up is...
You're not getting tangled up. You're doing fine. You're at a new level. You got every bit of that before, and you were sated with it. You were okay.
Uh-huh.
You were full. You got it. You didn't have any more questions. We made sure that you finally got to a place where you didn't have any more goddamn questions about it. Then.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've stirred in a little more and you've got even more insight since then. Do you see?
Sure. I got more, more information.
Now you know more. So now the things that you don't have on a different, it's like the same thing when we said then. Brian, it's like telling us, so when a 6-year old asks you where babies come from, they're really not interested in the details. They come from mummies.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Liza.
Ion, is Ion outside of me and me?
No, we are not physical. We're the spaces inside of you. Okay, yeah, take your cell. That's what we're all talking about, is the cell and getting you in your perfect self. Okay, the space inside between the nucleus of your cell and the outside, the electrons, that space between is the ionosphere. The space between those that matter is vast. So if you took the ion out of you, or the ionosphere out of you, you could take all the human beings on the planet. If you took the space outside of their cells and put them together, it would be the size of a small sugar cube. Everybody on the planet, every cell in their body, if you take the space out, us, it would fit into a sugar cube the size. Now, it would be a very dense sugar cube. We'll give it to you that. I mean, the Earth may not even contain it as far as in one place. It'd be a super dense, but we are the space between those protons and electrons in that nucleus of the cells, the space between it, the air in the balloon of the cells, if you will. So we are internal. We are internal. And by the way, we love you more than you will ever love you as far as the force field applies. And what that means is that it's really not fair because we have the inside scoop. We already know and love you. See, you don't even have to convince us. We know, and we still care anyway. Now, no one is embracing it as Bob, no contest. Now, he'll raise you to the end of at glory, but at the end of the day, he'll also be the one that'll pick you up and brush you off, too. But he's not arguing for those limitations, but he's your guy. Now, the inside, outside, upside, downside is when you embrace all of you, then we become less and less and less and less as far as non-physical because the God in you becomes more and more and more and more. Now, we seem all over it because you're just in a little lesser than place. But as it grows into it, after a little while, like Brian, listen to, yeah, you heard that recording. That was some, what you call, time ago. And you listen to Brian then, and you listen to Brian now, and it's almost like a different person. Did you notice that to be your experience?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he's arriving. And actually now, he's intelligible with his phatic fuckery.
And I got a question about the space in between the fourth and fifth ring you're calling the ionosphere.
No. Ionosphere is bigger than that. We just made reference to that particular ring set. Ionosphere is more than just that, but that's what you're asking. Go ahead.
I think, Brian, the ionosphere is the 13th ring in the diagram.
But he's talking about the space between the... Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, the fourth. I was just going to bring in the seven spheres, you know, we got seven spheres around the Earth, the troposphere, mesosphere, ionosphere, stratosphere. If those spheres were representative within the cell?
The answer to that, they will be.
But they're not now?
That's correct. Until your specific lysine amino acid is perfected, you will not know that at your cellular level.
Yeah, you would swallow the outer kingdom and be bigger than Jupiter.
Very good.
You were talking about the bones of Joseph, and I don't know if it was a Freudian slip, but you were starting to lay it out, the bones of Joseph and the original DNA, and then you mentioned a planet or this planet. My question was in Genesis when they were talking about Cain and Cain going to another world and going to the land of Nod. Is the land of Nod another planet?
It is another planet. Then we would be cheeky and say it's right next to Inkin and Blinkin. Inkin, Blinkin, and Nod, yes.
What was Nod? West of Eden?
East of Eden.
Nod was east of Eden, so if it was another planet, is it Mars?
No. You know what? You're biased now. You're
well,
east of
okay,
Eden,
that's
east
right.
Eden,
it is my bias.
It would be to the left. So what if you were upside down? It'd be to the right. So, or what if the world is turning, and then it would be just as easily Venus.
Okay, so I was going to ask, so is it Venus?
Depends on which time of day it is.
Oh, that's right. So you're just going to keep going. Well, it depends on which way you're turned or which.
It's the bias. And so we say, decide, okay, fine, not a problem. But it's not even that because you're saying that that's a left and right or not an up and down. So now you have to go into the vernal equinox and then do it. And then guess what it becomes? Saturn.
Is it Saturn?
No.
Is it a planet in the solar system?
No.
Ion, I know there's no beginning or ending, so maybe you can clarify this for me so I can have a better understanding of it. I've heard this many times explained, but hopefully this time I can finally get it. Where did my non-physical come from?
It is the essence of you. Your non-physical is the part of you from perfection that doesn't fit in a little man's perspective. We are the void. We are, when the light goes out, where does the light go? When you turn the lights off, where does the light go? That's us. When the light comes on, where does the light come from? That's us. when you are cold or hot or cold, that shifting difference that sometimes comes very quickly, where one minute you're just flushed warm and the next minute you're freezing, that's us. Okay, it's the devoid portions, the devoid portions of your human psyche that does not allow or limits or does not pervade as possibility of knowing. That's us.
Are you the ethers?
No, but we came from them.
Is the ethers the space in between?
No.
No.
That is us. The space in between is us.
Is it accurate to say, or is it too woo-woo to say that non-physical came from an eternal source, which was also non-physical?
No, it's just glib. It's glib. And when we use in definitions, we like to be more demonstrative. We like to be more specific. Like, hell no, we came from blah, 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 blah. Not quite that way. And every way we use it, we'll have to use ourselves as the definition, as you always are. Then that which always is. So then it's like giving the definition of God is, after a little while, if you really keep narrowing it down, it becomes God. We are not God, okay? You are. And our job and only job is convincing you of that. And it's been a white-knuckle fright so far.
I had to come down a vast degree in order to speak with us like this.
Yes.
Was it in frequency that you had to come down it?
No, it was in amplitude. The repeat, 1 pi 2 pi 3 pi, Brian can do this, the logarithm. And sine and cosine during his triangulation.
So there's a period. So within that amplitude, are there periods?
There are.
In this environment, mass is increasing, you said, but weight does not. And you're saying that's because of gravity?
Because gravity is decreasing. That's correct. The polar fields and their shifting are decreasing the polarity of the gravitational pull of this genre. That's in the E quadrant.
Is that increasing the non-physical or this ionosphere, the space?
Actually, it does. It does. And that's probably the best, never been asked before. Good for you. It does increase non-physical. We become more until you become more. So you keep upping the anthropomorphic ante. Every time you bid and we call, and every time we raise and you call, the pot gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The more you become God, the more we become non-physical, because we have to stay up with you. And we can overrun you in a less than state, but what fun would that be? I mean, that's no fun. We want you as God. We don't want you as little man. So it behooves us to help every way we can, and we do. Consistently, ask all of them. So, yes, we increase as you increase until we become absorbed. And as we are absorbed, then you don't require non-physical being out, what you call an outside position for you.
And we are creating this because...
We have no idea. We have no idea.
Well, you said that bone marrow and pericardial fluid is becoming more dense.
It is. But we have no idea why you would go through all this when you could just be God that you already are. We're literally trying to convince you of that which you already are. We're trying to bring you into your, back into your place of power.
That position is no empty space in the cell?
Plus one. That's right. Plus one.
It's no empty space plus one?
That's correct.
What's plus one? All about
more.
And no wind.
What is it in the angle of a sine or cosine? Plus one. Changes the whole pitch, does it not? If X is 3 and Y is 4, then the amplitude of A to B is from B to C is 6.
Ion, when you say until Brian gets to the lampstand, you're speaking about his amino acids. To increase the amino acids?
No, we're speaking of his lampstands. He spent more energy and money on lampstands than anyone else. Those are his. Basically, that's his language.
And that's just referring to him, not everybody who's engaged in this.
So far, yeah, anyone could, but so far he has.
Now, in Exodus 40 or some of them, it almost sounds like when they're describing, or it might have been Zechariah, it almost sounds like, well, when you were talking about a candelabra, it's like one stand, and from that stand
yeah.
you have stems that come out. You got three stems on one side, three stems
that's
on
right.
the other side.
That's right.
Okay, so it's one stand with three lamps, or seven lamps.
One plinth covered in blood with lights from that plinth. Good.
The altar is actually within that?
No, wait. That's so don't. No reason to make it hard, just...
Okay, I got this visual. I got the one stand with the stems coming out. You got seven lamps. But in the Ascension painting, you have seven stands with seven lamps around the altar. That's a different picture than the way they're describing it with the one stand with the stems coming out, three on one side, three on the other. It's a different picture, but if you develop it, you could get to the same process. Is that right?
That's right.
Like on the Ascension painting, you got the stand and the lamp in the middle, in front of the altar, and then you got the three on each side around the altar.
And on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates.
Now you're talking about the walls of the New Jerusalem being described. That's the, you know, on each direction you got the three gates
and
in each direction.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And then
right.
there were the 12 apostles of the land.
So you had the 12 foundations, and then upon the foundation you got the wall of the city with the 12 gates.
Perfect.
Can you tell me how that applies to what I was getting at with the Ascension painting with the lampstands around the altar.
Yes, but you're not worried about the lampstands around the altar. You're worried about the gates, the temple walls, the foundation, the part that holds you first.
Okay, the foundation. Isn't that all about the 12 precious stones?
Plinth.
That's the plinth. The 12 precious stones that make up the foundation is the plinth?
Dude.
So we got the precious stones at the foundations, but then the pearl for each gate.
Nacre.
Okay, that references nacre. Okay, so like in the angel diagram, you got the Escher, the seventh ring. On one side was frequency, on the other was chemistry.
Yeah, the inner rings were chemistry.
Nacre. It's organic, inorganic, composite material.
Organic and inorganic. So within the body, the organic would be your oil and your fats, your oils. And the inorganic would be these minerals that you consume.
Nectar. Produced by some mollusca as an inner shell that makes up the outer coating of pearls. It's incredibly strong. Impetuously resistant and iridescent. Nacreous.
Yeah, NACREOUS.